Acts chapter 18, and we begin reading this morning at verse 18, where we read that, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while." Remember, after he was hauled before Gallio, and then Gallio said, "I'm not going to put up with this," and, you know, this is this is one of these things where, you know, if it's according to your laws, then you deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. And so Paul didn't even have to say a word. Remember last week, the Lord worked out the circumstances for his glory. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 18, "So after this, Paul tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila." These were the two individuals we were introduced to last week, Priscilla and Aquila. Remember what an encouragement they were to Paul. I mean, they were really there to be an encouragement to him. "Having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus," that is, Paul came to Ephesus and left them there. "But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, 'I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will.' And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples." So now we're in Acts 18:24, and we are introduced to the individual we want to focus on this morning. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he," that is Apollos, "mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." What an interesting amount of time the scriptures give here in introducing us to this individual named Apollos. And so that's what I really want to focus on this morning. I trust that every single one of you who are here want to excel in all of your physical and your material endeavors of life. I think that everyone here wants to be effective and prosperous in what you do in life. God has called you to different realms of career or you know, different things that you do. And we often, like everybody else, like those who don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we often want to excel in those areas in life. We want to be the best that we can be. I mean, I don't think anybody here today would say, I don't want to be the best, you know, I don't want to be the best, whatever you are, programmer or truck driver or, you know, Caltrans worker or whatever you are. You're going to say, no, I don't want to be the best. I don't want to do my best. I mean, all of us desire to do that in these things in life. But as Christians, the question I want to propose this morning is, why are we so often satisfied with mediocrity when it comes to our spiritual lives? Because if we're honest with ourselves, I think we would say, yeah, so often I'm more concerned about excelling materially than I am spiritually. I place more priority and focus on being the best I can be in my occupation, or maybe even the best father, or the best parent, or the best husband, or the best whatever you might be. But when it comes to your spiritual life and our spiritual lives, it takes a back seat. We have to understand that when it comes to spiritual things, we really, if we're honest with ourselves, don't often care quite so much. And our priorities reflect that. I mean, that's how, you know, others can see that, or we can even measure it ourselves. I mean, our priorities don't reflect that that's what's important to us. And yet I believe as Christians, nothing should be more important than our desire to want to grow and excel in our spiritual lives, and specifically in our ministries to other people and the way God can use us to minister to other people. I mean, you know, as opposed to most of the time we just really like to focus on our own selves, shouldn't we as Christians want to be the best Christians that we can be, the closest to the Lord that we can be, in an effort to minister to others and point them to him and be the kind of people that we need to be for him. Of course, we can go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Paul tells us God has gifted the church with certain individuals who are responsible to train God's people to be ministers themselves. And so my point here is, we all are servants and ministers of Jesus Christ today. And my question to myself and my question to each of us this morning is, how much of that is a priority in our own lives to really be the best ministers of Jesus Christ to other people that we can be? I mean, how much do we really focus on that? Or are we so concerned with the other aspects of our lives, our careers, or sports, or hobbies, or relationships, or finances, or schoolwork, or whatever, and we're so focused on our success and focus in those areas that we neglect or disregard our need to be effective ministers and the best effective ministers that we can be for Jesus Christ? Well, God's word, the Bible, isn't silent. It doesn't leave us empty-handed when it comes to telling us how to have an effective ministry for Christ. You probably know where I'm going with this. I've talked about Apollos before. He's one of those people in the New Testament that I've learned a lot from. Now, I'm not saying I've learned it and it's stuck, but I have tried to learn from Apollos, really, because he is an incredible model in Scripture how we are to use what God has given us to the utmost for his glory. So I want to notice this morning from the life of Apollos without too much more. Your handout has your general outline here of what we want to look at. I want to notice from his life how we can excel, how we can be the most effective ministers of Christ as we can. And that's what we're going to do with the time we have. So let's get to the first point here. From the life of Apollos, here in Acts chapter 18, we can see that we can have effective ministry for the Lord. We can be the kind of ministers for Christ that he wants us to be, first of all, if we use our gifts for the glory of God. How many times have you focused even this past week or this past month on using the gifts God has given you for his glory? And we talked last week about one thing, just one little thing, that all of us can do. I mean, every single person here, and I challenged you this week, try to find at least one person to be an encouragement to and to do something to be an encouragement to that person. How many of us really focus this week on using our ability to be an encouragement to someone else? We can have an effective ministry for the Lord if we use our gifts, our talents, our skills, our abilities for the glory of God. And the first step in that is to recognize the talents or abilities that God has given to us. Apollos was especially gifted in the area of eloquence, knowledge, and boldness. And we see that all throughout Scripture, but as we're introduced to him here, we read the language and the terminology used, especially in verse 24. He was mighty in the Scriptures, and he was fervent in spirit. He taught diligently and spake diligently of the things of the Lord. He spoke, verse 26, boldly in the synagogue. He was a gifted orator, and he was bold. He apparently recognized his abilities that God had given to him, because we find in verse 25, he fervently and diligently exercised the gift that God had given to him publicly. As we're going to see, not all of us have this particular gift of eloquence and boldness. God has not gifted everyone in that way. I remember my grandfather used to talk about my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was one of these, you know. In fact, I still have met people who knew him. I don't think anymore, but when I was younger. And they used to talk about the fact he was fiery, you know. They always use that language about him, that word. He's fiery. And you listen to him speak, and he was, you know, he had kind of a high-pitched voice, and he was real fiery, I guess is the best way to put it. Now, my grandfather was exactly the opposite. My grandfather was very mellow, and he had a deep, nice voice, but he was very mellow, and each of them were very different in the way God had gifted them, even in the delivery and the presentation of truth. And yet, we all must recognize the talents and abilities that God has given to us. While the Lord has required all of us to minister to one another, and all of us are to fulfill the will of God, he has blessed each of us with special, specific gifts and abilities that we need to recognize. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, that is the gifts, the different gifts that are given, notice this. Notice, the manifestation is given to every man to profit withal. You know, every single one of us have special gifts or talents or skills or abilities that we can use for the glory of God. Now, there are certain things, you know, like being an encouragement. You don't have to have a gift. We're all required to be an encouragement. We're all required to edify and lift up others. We're all required to be ministers. But the point is, God has gifted certain individuals with certain ways in which they can do that. I mean, special gifts or talents or abilities. But he has gifted everyone. And that's what verse 7 says. It's given to every man, every person, to profit withal, for the profit of the body of Christ. None of us can say here this morning, well, there's nothing I can do. Now, there's nothing that the Lord has blessed me with specially. That's contrary to Scripture. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, I love this verse where he says, as every man hath received the gift, every, and in the context we're talking about these gifts, these special abilities and skills or talents and graces that God has given to us for the edification of the body. To minister to others for his glory. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We all have a responsibility. And, you know, you've seen, I'm sure, probably lists of different kinds of gifts. The Bible talks about lists of some different kinds, you know, hospitality and giving and helps and, you know, speaking. And there's all different things. But the point is, God gifts us. Nobody here today can say, I'm not gifted. I'm not gifted to be an effective minister of Jesus Christ because I can't speak like Pastor Gary can, you know, or I can't give like, let's see, who can I mess with here? Dave's not in here, so I can't say that. Give like Dave can, you know, no. We have to understand, none of us can say, I can't do it, or I am not gifted. If you have the Holy Spirit, that's what Paul tells the church in 1 Corinthians, if you have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, gifts everyone differently. Apollos recognized something about the gift God had given to him of eloquence and boldness and being able to speak. I mean, he was a great orator. He recognized his gifts needed to benefit both the saved as well as the lost. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, he used his gifts to help them much which had believed through grace. He helped the believers. And we find in verses 25 and 26 and 28, as he went into the synagogue and as he was talking to unbelieving Jews, he used his gifts to minister both to the saved as well as to the lost. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, through our own Christian life, have we discovered the gifts God has given to us in order to minister to others? And I'm not one of these people. I don't think you need to take some kind of test, all right? There are these tests that I know in Bible colleges and seminaries, and sometimes you can take. Okay, let's find and discover your spiritual gift through a test on a piece of paper, all right? Now, I understand both sides and all these kind of things, but I'm just saying, you understand the gifts by your being a minister to others, seeing in which way you can help and be helped, you can help other people, and recognize that the body of Christ acknowledges that. That is the important thing that we have to understand. We won't know unless we are being the kind of ministers of Christ that we need to be. Well, I don't know what God's called me to do. What have you done for the Lord today? Well, I don't really do anything because I don't know what he's called me to do. See, that's like, you know, the circular reason. No, get out there and minister. Minister, help, be an encouragement to others. Find ways, and then it will be shown to you. The Holy Spirit will make it very clear to you what it is that God has given to you or specially gifted to you to be a part of the body of Christ to edify other people. Okay, so I have seen, I'm not going to go, we need to keep going. All right, so number one, we can have an effective ministry for the Lord if we use our gifts for the glory of God. That's the first thing, we need to use them. We need to recognize our talents and abilities. Number two, we need to look for opportunities then for ministry. Look for opportunities. Notice that Apollos in our text, being fervent in the Spirit and a diligent teacher, he always looked for opportunities to minister, whether it was in the synagogue to the unbelieving Jews when he went to a city or to local churches. And again, in our text, we see the broad spectrum here of him ministering in a synagogue, just like Paul did. When he went into the city and there was a synagogue, he would teach. He had an opportunity to open the word and teach those who did not know Jesus Christ. But we also see him being a help to brothers and sisters in Christ when the opportunity arose. He looked for those opportunities. So here, we come to Ephesus. And in Ephesus, Apollos ministered. In Achaia, Apollos ministered. See, as we work our way through the text. In Corinth, Apollos ministered. In fact, look it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look more at this in a minute, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, notice this has caused a problem among the carnal believers, but in Corinth, Paul says, "This I say, every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ." Just as Paul had an impact in Corinth, guess who else had an impact in Corinth? Apollos. He taught there. The point is this. Everywhere he went, he looked for opportunities to do God's work using his God-given abilities. That was characteristic of Apollos that we have here in our text, and we see this over and over again. In our lives today in the 21st century, I mean, are there just no opportunities anymore? Were they all used up in the first century? I mean, you know, because sometimes we think that, like, there's just nothing anymore we can do, you know? It's like, it was so much easier back then, and now it's so hard. Opportunities abound everywhere we look. I think we have even more advantages than Apollos had to be able to be an encouragement, to be able to minister to others, to find ways to build up and edify and instruct other brothers and sisters in Christ and to get the gospel to those who need it. I think we have more opportunities, I mean, than Apollos ever had. I mean, with Apollos, it was like, you know, it only happened when he was right there physically, right? I mean, today we have means of broadcasting the truth and broadcasting ourselves and having an outreach to huge amounts of people. Excuse me. They abound. The opportunities abound. We just often don't even think about them or look for them again because we're too focused just on ourselves far too often. The point is this, if we truly want to minister, we're going to look for opportunities, and when we truly look, we will find. Opportunities abound everywhere. They're all around us. I mean, they're all around us today. We just need to, first of all, want to minister and use the gifts God has given us, and then look for them, and then if we look for them, we will find them. We will find them. We don't have excuses. No more excuses. Okay? So we need to look for opportunities for ministry. And then, letter C, we need to take advantage of the opportunities then as they arise. Apollos is never said in Scripture to have come to a town and he gets there. He arrives at town and he refused to do something for God in that locale. Nope, I'm not going to do that, you know. Oh, the Lord's opened this incredible door, but nope, I'm not going to do that. We don't find that. On the contrary, he's always at work using his gifts for God. And when he took advantage of the opportunities God gave him, he went all out. He did not go half-heartedly. Look at verse 28. He convinced mightily. Okay, see that? I mean, this wasn't just, all right, you guys, come and listen to me. Here's my take on it. You know, and he's just totally half-hearted and like, man, I need to be at lunch at like 12:30, so I'm going to. I mean, that wasn't his approach. He convinced mightily. And we saw from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he obtained a following in Corinth. I mean, there were people who were influenced because of his ministry because he took advantage of the opportunities God gave him. He obtained a following. He, verse 27, helped them much who believed. See that? The point is, he always took advantage to the fullest extent. He went all out, is the way we put it today. God gifts him. He looks for opportunities. The opportunities arise, and he goes all out. I mean, and he didn't, you know, go half-hearted, or he didn't go to a place and say, I don't know about this. I mean, he always took advantage to the fullest extent. As believers today, do we not only recognize our talents and abilities and look for ministry opportunities, but do we go all out when the opportunities arise? Because God has given each of us gifts, friends, that we are to use for his glory, for the work of the ministry to which he's called us. I mean, this is what being in this world in the here and now is all about. It's not all about seeing how good I can be, you know, at, I don't know, whatever it is you like, your hobby, or, you know, into this or into that. Or, I mean, nothing wrong inherently with any of those things, but I'm saying God has placed us here in the here and now to be used of him, and he's gifted us to be used for him and to be a minister for others, to be a minister to others. Apollos, great example. He was an effective minister for Christ because he actively and diligently used the gifts that God gave him. Throughout the New Testament, we're exhorted. I'm not going to look at these verses now, but throughout the New Testament, we're exhorted to run the race well, to war a good warfare, to abound more and more. This is the kind of language that the New Testament uses, of a life for a life that glorifies God. I mean, we are continually exhorted throughout Scripture. We can accomplish these things as we use our gifts and abilities God has given to us. Number two, the second thing we see from Apollos is that we can have an effective ministry for the Lord if we demonstrate a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. Wow, this is a tough one, okay? Because many times we think, you know, we've got it all figured out. Nobody's going to teach me anything. You know, I've already studied it. I've already got it figured out. Nobody's going to teach me. Well, with that kind of attitude is the death of a spirit and a person that can be used by God to minister to others. Look at Apollos. We can have an effective ministry for the Lord if we demonstrate a teachable spirit, first of all, by continually endeavoring to learn. Now, notice this little phrase in here about Apollos. He was born in Alexandria. That's fascinating. I mean, there's a reason God put every word in his word. And there's a reason why he didn't just throw in here, born in Alexandria, just so, you know. And there's a reason for it. As one born in Alexandria, Apollos had access to the greatest library in the world at that time. I mean, here is an individual who had resources at his fingertips. As a great orator trained in the art of rhetoric, he obviously had used opportunities to expand his knowledge. I believe Apollos was a lifelong learner. I really do. I think he was an individual who was a lifelong learner. Because when we come to our text in Acts chapter 18, even as he grew older, such as here when he went to Ephesus, we find verse 25, he was instructed in the way of the Lord. Apparently, from youth to adulthood, Apollos opened his mind to knowledge. And the thing that challenged me from this, not just this week, but as I've loved studying the life of Apollos, you know, for a long time, it got me to ask myself, in a challenge, believers, am I the kind of Christian who is always endeavoring to expand my understanding of God's word and use the mind that God has given to me? Or am I, you know, legitimately close-minded? You see, I can get off on this. The world says, you know, fundamentalists and evangelicals and Bible-believing Christians, you're all close-minded. And I'm saying, no, I can entirely flip that and say the world is totally close-minded because it will believe and accept everything but the truth, whereas Christians say, maybe I've been there. I've already thought all that through. I've already considered all the world has to offer, or maybe I've been in the world and experienced the little that it has to offer, and then I discover truth, okay? And I'm not close-minded because I discovered the truth and believe the truth. But now, as Christians, as believers, we must continue to be learners, always endeavoring to learn. Apollos had an effective ministry because he always endeavored to learn. And so, because the emphasis here really is on spiritual growth and learning, I'm nothing wrong with, you know, continuing education courses and all that kind of stuff. That's important too, and that's all good, and that's great out there. But we're talking here specifically about spiritual growth and learning. The question and application that we need to ask ourselves is this: are we demonstrating a teachable spirit by endeavoring to learn? First of all, through studying God's word regularly, are you a student of the word of God regularly? It's very important that we understand that we can never figure all this out. This cannot be exhausted. I mean, this book cannot be exhausted. But there is enough for us to spend our entire lives continuing to grow and learn in its truth. So are we demonstrating a teachable spirit by endeavoring to learn through studying our Bible regularly? And number two, this one hurts, gathering together in the Lord's house when the word of God is taught? Taking advantage of every opportunity to learn God's word? I mean, are we demonstrating a teachable spirit? Because again, we go back to Ephesians 4. God has given individuals in his church to train and teach and equip believers to do the work of the ministry, to love, to get to know the Lord more, to get to know God's will more, and to go be the kind of believers in the world we need to be. And if we just think, well, I don't need that, you know, it's not, I don't need to be there. I don't need to be in church. I went last week, you know, I went 2 weeks ago. Then it's really revealing something about our heart. It's revealing something about our attitude toward growing in the Lord, using the skills, the talents, the abilities God has given to us. It's saying a lot about us, and it's not saying something good. We won't grow spiritually, and we cannot be effective to minister to others if our own lives are not marked by continuing education in the things of the Lord. Continuing education in the things of the Lord. So we can have an effective ministry for the Lord if we demonstrate a teachable spirit, and we demonstrate that by, number one, continually endeavoring to learn, realizing I need to keep growing, so I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity I can, whether through personal or corporate study of God's word and worship of God. Number two, by constantly listening to others. Oh, it just keeps hurting more and more. What, first being in church? Oh, man. And now listening to other people? Oh, brother. How hard can this get? No, by constantly listening. Apollos really wanted to see his Jewish brother and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he boldly proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah to them. Yet Apollos wasn't entirely doctrinally sound. He did not have a proper understanding of the Christian gospel and all that it stood for. You know? And we find it, they didn't have the internet at the time. Okay, so that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, everyone who believed knew and understood everything that had happened, you know? I mean, it says in verse 25, he was instructed in the way of the Lord, he was fervent in spirit, he sought diligently the things of the Lord, but knowing only the baptism of John, the identification with John's declaration, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember John and he, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so identify yourself with John. Okay, so he had some doctrinal issues and problems, even though his heart was where it needed to be. He had truth. He understood that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but he didn't understand fully what the Christian gospel and all it stood for entailed. He was identified with the ministry of John the Baptist, but apparently wasn't made aware of Christ's instructions to his disciples in Acts 1. Wait here in Jerusalem until the gift, the Holy Spirit comes, and then you'll be witnesses unto me. And he didn't understand that. He had not learned that. He was unaware, apparently, of the Spirit's arrival at Pentecost and the reality of baptism into the body of Christ, the church. So, to other people who are gifted by the Lord, you know, that we looked at last time, Priscilla and Aquila, they came to Ephesus with Paul, remember, to help him minister and plant the church. The church at Ephesus, located in their home. They were impressed with Apollos when they heard him preach, so they pulled him aside, verse 26, to expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, here's Apollos' opportunity to... Nobody's going to tell me, I am Apollos. Nobody is going to tell me, you know, that I'm not correct doctrinally or that I don't have a full understanding of the things of the Lord and the church and the Holy Spirit in this day and age. Apollos listened to their instruction. And I think the fact that they were identified with the Apostle Paul really helped, because I think Apollos was a smart guy and I think he was discerning. And I think if just anybody came up and started, you know, spewing off anything to him, he's going to, nah, I don't know about this. But I personally, I'm reading between the lines, I think their identification with the Apostle Paul, and Apollos knew their identification with Paul, made it very clear that these individuals are declaring unto me the way of God more perfectly, because I'm wrong on some things here. He listened to their instruction. He didn't have an attitude of nobody can teach me anything, you know. And sometimes, I'm not saying that of anybody here. I'm just saying, maybe. There are a lot of people I know, a lot of times in a lot of churches that come to church and sit and say, I dare you to teach me anything. You know, I'm just here because I know I should be, but I dare you to teach me anything from the Word of God. That's the kind of attitude not indicative of a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. That is an attitude that Apollos did not have. He really was open to continuing to learn, but continuing to learn the truth. He listened to others. He listened to Aquila and Priscilla. So again, we have to ask ourselves, do we ever have the attitude that we know everything? We already have our minds made up and we have everything figured out. Nobody can teach us anything. I don't think we can emphasize too much the effectiveness that Apollos had and the effective ministry he had, because he opened himself up to listening to others. He listened to what they had to say. Had he not, believe me, his ministry would not be one for the Lord and effective for the Lord, as if he would have just thought, he already has it all figured out and I don't need you guys to tell me anything. So here's what he did. He continually endeavored to learn, letter A. He constantly listened. By constantly listening to others, letter B. And letter C, by humbly accepting constructive criticism. For Apollos to listen to the advice and criticism of others was important, yet what was more important was his response to that advice and constructive criticism. Don't raise your hand, but have any of you here this morning ever, you know, been on the receiving side of constructive criticism? Now, I'm not talking about non-constructive criticism. I'm not talking about somebody coming up and like blasting you because, you know, they don't like you or, you know, something you've done or I mean, has anybody really been on the receiving end of somebody coming up saying, you know, there's a problem here that needs to be fixed or adjusted in whatever it might be, some area of your life, some aspect of your life, something you believe, something, some priority that you have wrong, whatever it might be. What's the first, I'm just thinking, go through it in your mind. What's your first response to that inside? You know, I mean, yeah, everybody has lots of different adjectives for it. I mean, you know, shields go up, get mad, defensive, who are they? Honestly, even if it's done in the right way. I mean, this is what's hard today, okay? Even if someone's going and doing it in the right way, we as human beings, sinful human beings, immediately, you know, we're being attacked. You know, that's the way we look at it. That's the way we think about it. Who are they? I mean, they think they're better than me, you know? Or all these things go up in our heads, all these things go up in our minds. And I'm not saying that there can't be initially kind of some, whoa, you know, all of a sudden defenses go up. But how as you listen, are you going to respond to that? That's the key here. It's clear from our text that Apollos humbly accepted the instruction of Aquila and Priscilla. I'm not saying that right off the bat when they confronted him that he wasn't, I mean, shields didn't go up or defenses go up for a minute. But what did he do with that after they did share with him truth? And you need to understand here something, Apollos. You know, you're a great guy. You're doing a great thing. But what you're proclaiming isn't entirely true. And we need to teach you here along this line. He didn't become offended by these two who were certainly not as eloquent or educated as he. I don't think Priscilla and Aquila were as eloquent or educated as Apollos, you know. How did he respond? Here's how he responded. Oh, man, okay. He responded by conforming to the truth. He conformed to the truth. He thought about what they had to say. I'm sure that because of the kind of person Apollos was, he prayed to the Lord, you know, help me discern here what they're saying and accept that if that's what I need to do. So he conformed to the truth, and then he turned around and helped those who believed. And then in verses 27 and 28, we find him proclaiming the gospel more accurately to the unbelievers. See, after he was expounded the way of God more perfectly, he was disposed to pass to Achaia. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, he helped them much which had believed through grace. He helped them much, for he mightily convinced. How do you respond when others try to teach or constructively criticize you? I've been constructively criticized, and I've done both. I've taken it. After a while, okay, that's great. I learned that that person's right, and I need to change. And I've also taken it the other way and been like, who are they to think they could, you know, I've done it wrong, and I've done it right. The question we need to ask, though, is how do we respond when others try to constructively criticize us? We need to realize that our ministry to others could lose its effectiveness if we refuse to be taught. It could lose its effectiveness if we refuse to be taught. And let me just put this in a ministry perspective here with someone like Apollos. If Apollos continued to embrace doctrine that was not consistent with truth, not only is he spreading error through what he's continuing to do, but it is negatively impacting those who know Jesus Christ. Okay, so criticism, someone said this, and I like this. Criticism is always difficult to accept, but if we receive it with humility and a desire to improve our character, it can be very helpful. Only a fool does not profit when he is rebuked for his mistakes. Only a fool does not profit when he is rebuked for his mistakes. Okay, got to quickly do number three here. Okay, so finally, we can have an effective ministry for the Lord. We learn from the life of Apollos. If we do what we can to influence others in a positive manner. First, there has to be the desire to impact others. There are too many professing Christians today who just have an I don't care attitude. I don't even care. And we all can be guilty of that at points in our lives. I mean, you know. We all can get to the point where it's like, I just don't care, you know? We become, as God puts it in his word, weary of well-doing, you know? I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm trying to do what's right, and I'm just tired of it, and I don't care anymore. I don't really care to even have an impact on others. I don't care to minister to others for the glory of God. The self-centered focus there is amazing, and it's something we need to watch out and be careful of. We can have an effective ministry if we do what we can to influence others. First, we have to desire to impact others. This is of paramount importance. We'll never be truly effective in ministry if we don't even have the desire to positively influence others in the first place. And I believe that if a person doesn't even have that concern at all, I would stop and ask whether or not, you know, you really know the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you and your life are going to have a desire to want to see other people come to a saving knowledge of him as well. That's what John talks about in his first epistle. Apollos was an influential man because he desired. He wanted to impact others, and he turned his desire into action. Verse 28, he mightily convinced the Jews. In order to mightily convince, one must really want to persuade another. Notice two other portions. You can jot them down. We don't have time to look at them. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. That reveals the extent of Apollos' influence. Those in the church at Corinth admired Apollos and were not ashamed to be identified with him. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, 12, we find Paul's stamp of approval on the ministry of Apollos. I mean, he desired to impact others, believers and unbelievers. He wanted to encourage and instruct believers, and he wanted to show unbelievers that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Messiah. So the first thing we have to do, obviously, here is ask ourselves today whether or not we truly even desire to see the lost come to Christ, and whether or not we even desire to edify our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to build them up, to encourage them. It all begins with this desire. Number two, then we actively serve and use our gifts. We actively serve, actively serving and using, using the gifts that God has given to us. Once again, we notice that Apollos appropriates that which has been entrusted to him. That's how he influences others. In verse 25, he spake and taught diligently at Ephesus. Verse 27, he helped believers much when he came to Achaia. He used his gifts and boldly preached the gospel wherever he went. We never see him going anywhere, as I said before, and being idle. And the point here is that we can only influence others in a positive manner when we want to minister to them, and then we use the tools for ministry God has given to us. In the past, I've used the illustration of a piano and a concert pianist. What good is a piano and a concert pianist when they're not together? No, I mean, think about it. I mean, okay, let's just pretend I'm a concert pianist, all right? Okay, so here I am. What good am I, apart from that, to use my gift and have it influence you? None. I'm not good. I'm no good at all. That's no good. I'm no good if it's not put together. And the same thing is true with our desire and effectiveness. We have to want to impact others and then actively serve and use the gifts God has given to us. You're only edified, if I'm a concert pianist, and here's the piano, you're only edified through that gift when I sit down and do all the neat stuff that some people can do. Number three, letter C, by staying in tune then with God's will. We can have an effective ministry for the Lord if we do what we can to influence others in a positive manner by desiring to impact others, by actively serving and using our gifts, and then by staying in tune with God's will. Apollos influenced others in a positive manner as he walked according to God's will. God wanted Apollos to have a proper doctrinal understanding of the person and work of Jesus and the role of the Holy Spirit in the church so he could be a more influential and accurate minister to other people. Apollos greatly influenced others because he obeyed God. Even today, when we abide in Christ and accomplish his will, he has promised that he will, 2 Thessalonians 1, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness for his glory. We will have an impact on others when we stay in tune with God's will for our lives. Sometimes we wonder, why can't I have the influence? Why can't I impact? We're not even walking with the Lord, you know? I mean, God wants to use us, but we need to be in tune with his will. We need to be in fellowship with him in order to be used by him. Many times we try to impress others and even win them over to our cause for our own selfish reasons, you know? And yet we have to understand God wants to use us for his glory, not for us to be put out there as somebody great. He wants to use us. I love Apollos. I mean, I wish we had time to dig into the Corinthian scriptures and all that to learn more of him, but just kind of a springboard here in Acts chapter 18, we see the introduction of this man and the influence he had to believers and unbelievers alike because of his usability for the Lord. We need to be the same kind of people today. God wants to use us. He's gifted you to be used for him and by him. So let's do what we can. Let's not just be the best, you know, whatever. Let's try to be the best believers and ministers of Christ that we can be with the time God's given us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for putting the account of Apollos in your word so we might learn, we might grow and understand and learn from him, Lord. May we learn from him. And may we really not only desire to be effective ministers of Jesus Christ, but may we see that a reality in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.